Hello, guys, and greetings from me, Jordan, and your co-host, Mo. We're on vacation this week. Say hi, Mo.
Hi.
Guys, we wish we could be there to give you some beautiful stories, but unfortunately, we are out until next week. So we wanted to give you a very special episode. Mo has compiled some of our favorite moments from last year's greatest interviews. So we have some cool clips to catch up on. And we have updates from the artists that we feature. So we really hope you enjoy.
Quick question round. What was your favorite Artsy Fartsy moment?
I thought Vivi had really crazy stories about the storms that she endured. I thought Busty had a good perspective about Lisbon. I thought David Gaffney had really cool stories about celebrities. I thought Marco Mori was really interesting how he always worked with the famous people from home.
Choose one.
Oh, no, oh, no. My favorite moment so far.
Should I start?
Yes, please.
Obviously, David Gaffney's Liam Gallagher story.
Oh, that's such a great story. Yeah. I would say maybe one of my favorite moments.
Okay, guys, just listen to the clips.
There's too many, guys. I love them all. Just enjoy.
AFI. Backstage stories.
Hi there, I'm an artsy fartsy immigrant. My name is Violeta del Rio del Castillo, but everybody knows me as Vivi. We spoke many months ago, and since then a lot of things have changed in my life. Of course, due to this whole world pandemic that is affecting us all. In my case, my visa got approved, so yay, good news. But the whole process was extremely, extremely stressful. I first applied on October 2019, and I just got approved on July 2020. And not only that, but since all the embassies and immigration services were closed in March this year, since then I haven't been able to know if I was going to be able to stay in the country because it was impossible to get anybody on the phone or get any information online. So all these months have been like pretty challenging because I didn't know if I was going to have to pack all my bags and leave like all of a sudden because I was denied the visa. So thankfully it all worked out. For the best, I got the visa for 3 more years, but now, on the other hand, the stress continues because I'm not able to leave the States. Technically, I'm able to leave the States and go into Spain because I'm from there, but if I leave to Spain, I wouldn't be able to come back even though I have a visa. So that also adds another layer of stress to this whole situation because I'm far from my family. Of course, I have my grandma, like my aunts, like it's like in that age, you know. Thankfully, all my family is like healthy. But yeah, it's something that affects me, you know, my day to day for sure. And but on the good, you know, I always try to look for the good thing in all the situations that I can. So it's this whole thing is giving me a lot of time to rethink my life and rethink how I want to project myself as an artist. And I've been taking like some online courses with like about different types of music, and like I'm having a lot of time to practice that, all the things that I was delaying or postponing, or I never had time to practice. Now I have all the time, so I think that's a good thing for sure. And I cannot wait until all this passes and we all can share openly like what we've been working on with the world. Much love and a lot of positive energy to all the musicians and artists struggling around the world. Bye bye. I tried to, like, I basically started thinking about leaving whenever in 2008 there was like this big economical crisis happening. Mm-hmm. So Spain was super affected by it, and there was like literally like for arts and like for stuff, I mean for nobody, like there was like very little jobs, and you know, it was awful. So I started to think about leaving there because it was just like nothing to do, nothing motivating. So a lot of negativity around and everything. So I tried to apply first for Europe, for London. And they invited me in London to assist to like a master class, you know, like in hopes that, yeah. So thinking that I would join their, you know, their school, like afterwards and stuff. So basically, like, I bought my ticket and everything. I was ready to go. And this huge, I don't know if you remember, but there was like around that time, there was a volcano happening in Iceland that affected like the whole like space for in Europe. So basically like all the flights were canceled, like for, it was just like, it happened for a month. So
that's crazy.
I know. And it was just like my flight, I went with my flight with everything like booked already, and I got to the airport and all the flights had been canceled. Jesus. And they didn't even know when they were gonna open, like, you know, the space again, like to fly and everything. So I went home, like, okay, I wrote like, hey, so they told me like, no matter, that doesn't matter, like, just like schedule it for next month. So what happened was, like, I did it again. I booked my flight, I booked everything, I went to the airport again a month after, and it happened again,
like, oh my god.
I know. So it was just like, it was the same reason, because like some countries had to wait a little longer for the air to clear out from, like, from the ashes and stuff. And yeah, they canceled it again. So I talked to them and they told me like, okay, let's see for next year, because it was like June. So the whole course was like, was ending the whole semester. So they can't, like, they canceled it on me. And I was just like, so bummed. And then my cousin, Pat's, was like living in New York, and I was just like super bummed after this and stuff, and she invited me to go to New York for the summer.
That's how you ended up in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't, like, know that part, like, of the story before. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, she was like, she was there studying film,
right?
And she told me like, well, don't you come here and just like take some space, like distance from Madrid and like everything there. So I just like went, and I started meeting people. And through meeting people, I got this, you know, chance to like start in a school there. So I, what happened was, like, I basically like auditioned and got in a kind of like an art, how do you say, like art invitation. They would invite me for a year to check it out and like to study there and stuff. So I just went there, and through that school, I met somebody to get into Juilliard.
Crazy. Wow. So,
yeah, it was just like, I don't know, a bunch of like,
Chance and luck. Exactly. And connection, man.
Yeah, that's, and it was just, yeah, like, now I think about it, and I was just there, you know, I was just like, okay, all right, you know.
It must almost feel like a blur now, how quickly it all just happened.
Yeah, totally. And it's just like, it was very like, you know, I didn't even think about it. I was just like, okay, I'll do it. Okay, whatever. Okay, this is cool. All right. You know, like, I wasn't even like, it wasn't like, oh my God, I love this school. Like, I had been trying for years, and like, no, it was just like very organic, very like,
that's good.
Yeah, natural.
And we met in New Orleans at the University of New Orleans. I was studying film and you studied music there.
Hey people, this is David Gaffney. I'm an artsy fartsy immigrant. Big love to Jordan, Prince and all the gang down there in München. I'm currently in the studio in Leipzig writing some tunes and trying to keep the dream alive, man. Since we last spoke, I've released a single called Wonder. You can find it on all the platforms online. Go check that out. Killer video, and I think it's a pretty cool song too. We've got some live action coming up as well in the David Gaffney camp on the 20th of August. We play in Haus am See in Olsching. And on the 22nd of August, we open for the wonderful Flor Mega in Bremen at Leila Lauba. And on the 26th of August, we have a big one at the Olympia Stadium in München, opening for the superb Pullman. with Summer Buna in Stadium. Come check it out. Come show me some love online, and hope you're all keeping well, safe, and your head is above the water. Peace out. Take it easy. Ciao for now.
Well, we have to stop you there and say we did see a photo of you with Liam Gallagher. Yeah, we have to know the story behind that.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy, man. It was like this was in the Camden era, and we were kind of, so me and my friend Joe and Craig were in a band there called A Band Named King, and that was
a band named King.
We were originally like the Tracys or something, and then we changed into A Band Named King, and we were. We were just like going out every night in Camden with the guitar on the back, and then in the smoking areas or anything, if anybody wanted a song or asked for it, then we would play our songs to them.
Oh, know? Nice.
And we just said, it's going to happen like this. And then we were just like writing under bridges and all the rest of it. And then one evening we were out in a nightclub, and it was like super quiet on a Monday night or something. And like, I was like, hey, Craig, Liam Gallagher's in the corner, man. It was crazy. And he was like, and Craig's, he's a go-getter, man. Like, he's a proper nice guy. He's a cool kid. But he also speaks his mind and stuff. He was like, where?
I
was like, oh no, this is going to end in tears, you know?
Oh man. And then he's that one friend.
And then he went over to him and started the initial conversation, because I was a little bit kind of standing back a bit and thinking, God, you know?
I mean, if there's any like extremely famous people in the world, the Gallaghers are known for like, don't talk to them. They're not nice. Probably, right?
Yeah. And he went over to him and said, he said probably one of the worst words, I think. He was like, you're a C and I'm a C. That means we can get along, right? We can get along. And I thought, uh-oh, he's going to...
What's your C and I'm a C?
Well, he like said this really bad word.
Oh, that yeah, one. Yeah, oh,
I
the C
don't
word.
Wanna, I don't want to say it because obviously children might be listening.
I hope not.
but
he just said it like that.
He went far out, said it. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to pick him up off the floor. And then before you know it, they were like, had the arms around each other and they were having a beer and it stopped there. I said, right, okay, let's get a quick photo, because we were quite happy that he was there.
It's probably your only chance ever to see this
guy. We left the club, went to like get fish and chips or something. We were like happy with our night then. We were like, hey, it's done. Let's go home, you know? Yeah. And then he walked past the chip shop again.
You're kidding.
And like he either like stole one of our chips or something, or he like knocked on the window or something, and he was like messing around. And then I then said, okay, now it's my turn. So I went out and said, hey, like, where are you going now? What's the plan? What's the deal? I mean, can me and this guy be involved? You met him in the club. and the house party was next door to the fish and chip shop, and he said, go in and behave. And that's what he said to us. So
what?
Then we partied the night away there, and yeah, it was crazy.
Man, that's like a rock and roll legend story or something.
It's really like, I take that one to the grave,
yeah,
man.
That's like a Rolling Stone exclusive kind of thing. But it's also like Mo's wet dream, because he's such an Oasis
fan. Yeah.
My name is Kobe Grant, and I am an artsy fartsy immigrant. Hey guys, it is so nice to hear from you, and thank you for wanting to know what I've been up to. I am currently not where I thought I would be. I'm in my hometown of Perth, and what happened for me when the pandemic kind of, you know, amped up and hit and borders were starting to close, I was in Cape Town. I'd flown from Berlin, where I normally live, to Cape Town because I was meant to be playing at a couple of festivals there. And within kind of 5 days of arriving, it became clear that borders were closing everywhere. Those festivals were cancelled. And I sort of had a choice to make. I was like, okay, should I go back to Germany? Because at this stage already, you know, it all happened so fast. Already gigs were going to be cancelled until June, till summer, the 1st of June. I think that was the first thing in Germany. So I actually made the decision, you know what, I'm going to go home to Perth for a couple of months then, a month or so, and then I'm sure it'll be all blow over. I'll head back over to Germany ready for my summer of touring that I have planned. Of course, we all know how that has gone. And yeah, all of my shows in Germany have been cancelled for the year. Now, that kind of left me with, I guess my mind was made up. There's a few things. I didn't expect to be in my hometown and living in my parents' guest room. But with taking away touring, you know, the other part of my job, I suppose, is writing, and that's something I can do anywhere, writing for film and TV and writing for myself. And so I just thought, at this point, I'm going to stay in Perth. I've found a place here. I've moved out of my folks. I was very grateful to be with them, but, you know, at 34 years old and I'd left home at 19, I sort of thought, I've got to get out. I've got to get my own space and settle in Perth for a while. And that decision was made for me because it's actually crazy expensive to get back to Berlin. Australia has really restricted the incoming international passenger flights. You can only come into our country now if you are an Australian citizen or resident. And not only that, if I was to come back to Germany, then there's no guarantee I could get back to Australia because of that restriction, A. And B, we have a mandatory quarantine here of 14 days, which costs $3,000. And now the individual has to pay. At first, the government was paying for Australian citizens to do that. But now if it's your choice to come back, you have to pay. So with all of that, I just thought, you know what? My stuff is safe in Berlin in the apartment I was renting and with friends. And until Corona blows over and I can get back to some semblance of normal touring, then I just thought I'm going to stay put in my home country, make the most of being in this beautiful place where I live right next to the ocean. And obviously my friends and family are here. However, it's totally different here as far as music goes. You know, the reason I left this beautiful but sleepy town is because it's just very hard to make any money from playing your original music. You know, there's lots of people playing cover gigs at the pubs, which I have done my fair share of. But, yeah, I just got used to, you know, I built it up and I got used to performing my originals for people in Europe and in Germany in particular, which just brought me such a huge amount of joy to have that connection with audiences through my original music. And I feel so, I am so lucky. I got to finish my tour for my album in the middle of Feb. So really just before the pandemic kind of hit, I was able to do that tour, which, yeah, gave me a great amount of joy. Also helped me financially because I know so many musicians who had to cancel tours, who've had to postpone tours. Obviously, it's just a nightmare for the music and entertainment industries, as well as obviously travel industries and many others. But yeah, I guess my hand has been forced. And at the beginning of that happening, I kind of found that very difficult to accept. And yeah, was just dealing with being a little bit, the uncertainty was not the best thing for my mental health. However, I've now just embraced it. I'm like, okay, you are staying here in Perth. Our borders are closed here, interstate and international. So, you know, when I was younger, when I was 19, I moved to Melbourne because I had much better music scene over there. But at the moment, Melbourne is in a heavy lockdown with the curfew, only allowed out of your house for an hour a day, one at a time. So in Perth, because we have so few corona cases, we have a lot of freedoms. It's like normal life. You know, gigs are even starting back up, events are starting back up here. But, yeah, I guess like everyone else, you know, or like a lot of people, the rug was kind of pulled out from under me and I've just had to adapt. And that has been interesting. And I, at the same time, I know I feel that it's the right place to be. Something that I found is interesting is that a lot of people are sort of flocked home as such to be with their families, because I think that's what, when you feel that there may be some sort of crisis, that that's kind of where a lot of people gravitate towards. So I think it was the right decision. Bit strange to have come here just with a small suitcase of summer clothes and one of my guitars. But, you know, my stuff over there will be safe, and I am just going to plan to have no plan. I can't plan. So Perth it is until the pandemic sort of gets under control around the world, and I hope it does soon, because I know that it's affecting so many, many millions of people. And as soon as it does, then hopefully I will be back over in Europe touring again. But between now and then, I think my aim for 2020 is just to get through it and try to not sweat, you know, this, there's nothing you can do, not worry about things that are out of my control. So my goal for 2020 is to, not worry about things that are out of my control, which seems to be a lot, and just enjoy the company of my friends, my family, try and stay creative to some extent. Just see what happens. I know that's not very profound, but I think I also myself have had a couple of creative blocks, productivity blocks, and I just don't want to put any pressure on myself, because I find that's not, we're in a state, you know, it's unknown territory. And I've read a lot about how, you know, our brains are in a fight or flight, and that does affect our creativity, and, you know, just to kind of take the pressure off. We'll see what happens. That is the update. You know, as far as rumours go, I'm not sure about international travel from Australia for a while. Apparently the rumours are September 2021. So I'm going to hope for better than that, because I'd love to get back over to Europe and play. But living over there right now just makes no sense. I think I feel a little bit more isolated, you know, and not really able to do my job to the extent that I would like to, with touring and performing, which I miss terribly, to be honest. I really miss, you know, connecting with people through concerts and through my music and through music as well. Like, one of the things I loved about living in Berlin was going out to see music 3 or 4 nights a week when I wasn't touring myself. So it's the quiet life in Perth by the beautiful ocean, and that's what I'm focusing on at the moment. So I hope everyone else is going well, and I hope that you enjoyed my little update, guys. Talk to you soon.
Well, speaking of co-writing too, I wanted to ask about Winter Bear. I mean, this song, you know, I know a little bit about it, but I'll let you do the explaining. I would like to know, you know, where that idea came from, and if you, you know, where the inspiration came, the story behind the song, and, you know, if you expected it to go so viral. I mean, it was extremely popular when you dropped it.
So Winter Bear, I sang at a wedding, which I've been singing at weddings to supplement my income. For my original music for years since I began playing.
Yeah.
I know a lot of artists who like kind of turn their nose up at that sort of thing. And I'm like, you're an idiot.
I think that's bullshit. There's so much money.
$10 an hour down like waiting tables, or you can make like a few hundred or thousands.
Or even more. Yeah. Like weddings pay such like private events, weddings, birthdays. Like if you're in a like a downtime for touring, like it's so dumb to pass that stuff up.
Absolutely. And I also personally love singing at weddings. Love it. So because of like, you know, my music and my style, I'm always only singing at the ceremony or like shortly after. So I'm never around when everyone's getting pissed. Drunk. Pissed is the Australian word for drunk. I'm never around then. So I always am singing these people down the aisle where they're so happy. And this particular wedding, the bride was 6 months pregnant, and this family was just so full of joy. Like, it was palpable. Like, you could feel the love, you know, around this couple. And the person who'd asked me to sing and got me there was the father of the groom, so the grandpa of the unborn child. And he was a huge music lover, and he had heard my song in a movie. It was a title track for a movie in Holland, because these people were Dutch. And he'd heard my song, and he'd asked me if he could use the song for, like, their wedding invitation, their online wedding invitation. I was like, yeah, you don't even need to ask, you know.
Oh, that's so nice.
And so nice. And then he was like, maybe there's a chance you can play. And, like, you know, obviously then he organized that. So 3 months after the wedding, he contacted me and told me that the child was stillborn at full term. Oh, so, yeah, horrible. And so he wanted, as a lover of music, what he wanted to do was write a song to remember his grandson by, and also to give to his son and new daughter-in-law, just because, you know, what do you say, what do you do in this, like, unspeakable, like, you know, moment of grief. And so anyway, that's, he asked me, could you help me? Because he's, you know, never written a song in his life. And I said, of course, I can do that. So over the next few months, he basically sent me pages and pages of thoughts and some poetry and some pictures and some, like, you know, letting me know how the family is. And I also drew from, unfortunately, like, you know, I have a friend who lost her child to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. I know multiple friends who've had miscarriages.
Yeah.
I had another friend who had already experienced a stillbirth. You know, and it wasn't until later that I realized how common it was, but I kind of drew from this, and also specifically, like, you know, the stuff that he had written me, and I wrote this song, Winter Bear. And the song, it's so interesting, because he didn't want to be credited as a songwriter, Grandpa. He doesn't even like to be named. So, but the first three lines, which for me are the most hard hitting anyway, the first three lines of the song, he wrote. I took it directly from his poetry. The rest of the song I interpreted and I made up, and, you know, so this was an interesting co-writer as such, you know, because he wasn't a musician, but
but the emotion was there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, you know, what you need to write a great song. So we recorded the song, and he gave it to his son and daughter-in-law. They listened to it every day, and they contacted me and told me that it somehow does bring them, like, some peace, some glimmer of hope, you know. And mm-hmm. I was just like, wow, this is, you know, pretty overwhelming. I sang it for the family when I was next in Europe, like in the area, sorry, in the Netherlands. I sang it for them. That was definitely the hardest thing I've done.
Oh, man, I don't know if I could have made it through that performance, you know, without crying or breaking down.
I actually just made it through. Broke down at the end. I'm like a bit teary talking about it,
because it's
quite an emotional.
Yeah.
So there came a point where we thought, hey, maybe it would be great to release this out into the public, because if this helped you guys, like, you know, how many other parents have gone through something like this? And it could be, in a way, like, I don't know, it sounds weird to kind of say the words healing, like, how much, you know, like, I don't know, like, about my own song, but that is the word that keeps coming up from the thousands of parents who have now written to me. So we did release the song, and it had, within a few weeks, 4 million views, 50,000 shares, and thousands. I couldn't respond to everyone, you know, thousands of messages.
It's amazing that this song reached so many people. I think it touches the hearts of a lot of people, and is really it's a really honest, like, pain filled emotional song. I think it's easy for people to connect to that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone has a story that they can kind of replace the truth behind it with their own pain. If that makes
sense. Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. And I mean, the song was called Winter Bear because that was their nickname for their unborn child. But so many people have still said, like, that was, you know, something that they can relate to anyway. But yeah, I still get messages from people. And it was recently, October the 15th was International Pregnancy and Infant Loss Day. I've reposted the video.
Right.
And, like, straight away again, like, these comments and the messages that I get. And so I'm so proud to have written a song as a songwriter, like that's all you really want, isn't it? Like that's how music affected me, was just like, wow, this is so powerful, this music, this language that we all speak, like that can help me through the hardest times, that can change my mood, that can lift me up, that can make me happy, that can connect us, you know, as humans. And so proud that a song, like, because what is success to me? Like that is, you know, like having touched so many people, but also like kind of strange that it's with such a sad topic, you know.
That's absolutely the main goal, and the true feeling of success is when you get a message from someone who listened to a song, whether or not it was particularly emotional for you to write. In this case, it was. Yeah. But when you have someone writing you a piece of the lyrics, or even just saying the name of the song and saying like, this meant so much to me, for whatever reason it did for them, it's so rewarding. It's like that. Like, I'm so thankful that you connected with it. That's the whole point, you know.
That is right. You're 100% right. So yeah, that was a pretty extraordinary, you know, bunch of events that happened that even got me to that wedding, you know, that that allowed me to, like, because I always like kind of look back at things. I'm like, okay, well, my song was in a title track in a Dutch film because I was signed to Sony. They got it in there, and I didn't think that deal was that great. But in the end, if it wasn't for that deal that got me that movie that the grandpa heard, I never would have sung at that wedding. I never would have been the one to help them write this. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such, like, I just look back and I'm just like, even if you think, always in my life, even if I'm like, feel shit or think that something is not worked out how I wanted it to work out, I'm like, Kobe, just wait. You know, you'll look back and be like, if that hadn't have happened that way, then this couldn't have been where you've ended up. And I just find that such a really amazing thing about life.
Absolutely. And I just want to remind people that if they want to see the clip, they can go to your Instagram, which is Kobe Grant Music.
Look out, baby. The Saints are coming through. And it's all over now.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.